Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Well, he's back.
Indeed.
I'm good, thanks, and you? But what would an Israel Report be without a either loved or hated song to preempt it?
It's true that. There's never anything parav, as we say in the classics.
It's good. It's good. You know, nothing like a little extremism. That's why we talk about Israel.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, I was going to say a little bit of extremism never killed anyone, but I don't know if that's true. Strictly speaking. Ouch. Absolutely. What is going on in Iran? Because I've been supporting this protest as much as possible. I've been tweeting about it and trying to get behind it in some way. But it seems, in my view, to be fizzling out. Is this tell me it ain't so?
Well, I think that everybody should be behind the protests in Iran. And if you want to tweet about it, you can use the hashtag #FreeIran. So, incredible scenes as we ended 2007 and 2017 and started 2018. And like most of what we saw in 2017, we couldn't have predicted the outcome or the year ending like this. Another black swan in the Middle East as Iranians have taken to the street in protest against their regime. They are calling for the regime to step down. A lot of them are saying there is so much money that is spent on foreign policy and not on domestic issues. And by foreign policy, and we've heard the cries from many in the streets saying, it's enough with Gaza, it's enough with other areas in the world. We need the Iranian government to be focusing on us, the Iranian people. We are the ones who are suffering under sanctions. We are lacking many amenities. What we do know is that social media has been banned, and now the Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Al-Khamenei has warned that they will be banning English studies because they see it as a Western cultural invasion. And English usually starts in the middle schools around the ages of 12 to 14, but the Ayatollah has said that they will ban that. And many Iranians have taken to what's left of their social media to mock the regime. So it's absolutely interesting. And a lot of the speculation is that what has fueled these protests is the Iranian nuclear deal, that too much attention has been given to their nuclear program and the intentions thereof, and not to the people of the country. And what we've heard from the Europeans is basically radio silence, Howard. A lot of them being quiet because a lot of them have business interests in Iran and don't want to rock the boat, so to speak. But one can always rely on President Trump.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pardon?
Just to add to that, what I've noticed is if you look at BBC, you look at CNN, a lot of the mainstream media talk about economic hardships, and they talk about the dissatisfaction with foreign diplomacy, etc. But what they aren't saying is that the fact is that they are spending money, that the Iranian regime is spending money on terrorism around the world whilst Iranians are starving. And for some reason, the mainstream media is very, very reluctant to say it. I mean, we've seen signs that are saying, from the protests, saying, we're not interested in Gaza. What are you doing there when we've got these crises at home? But we're not seeing that being reported. And there's almost been this tacit agreement amongst a lot of the Western media to not give life to this protest. And I don't understand it. One of the answers you've given is that it is economic, and people don't want to lose out on that, but it's really appalling.
It is appalling, especially if you consider Iran's human rights record. We have spoken at length on the show about the propensity not just to fuel or fund terrorism around the world, but also the hanging or the execution of children, the hanging of homosexuals, the treatment of women, the treatment of minorities, and the incitement, the Holocaust denial, the hate speech that comes out of Iran. That all is ignored. You know, unfortunately, much of the world media and a lot of human rights activists seem to be extremely preoccupied with Israel and this part of the world at the expense of the people of Iran and other conflicts around the world, people who are demanding their freedom in this case. And I would call on all our listeners out there to get social media active and stand behind the Iranian people who really are calling for their freedom and an end to the oppression and an end to the subjugation and an end to the economic strangling that they get from the Iranian regime.
Absolutely right. Rolene, I want to move on to a discussion about the BDS. You and I have spoken about the fact that Israel has, and you know, what do we think about the fact that Israel is has a ban, a travel ban on certain anti-Israel organizations from coming to Israel. I'm inherently uncomfortable, as much as I detest BDS, because I think they are anti-Semitic in their nature, in their core. I think they've done a tremendous amount of damage to most of the host countries that they're involved with, never mind to Israel itself. I still am always inherently uncomfortable because I like to say to people, go and see for yourself. That said, there's been a list published. A lot of BDS organizations are on that list. They're complaining. I think that's laughable that they are. You can't boycott a country and then complain that the country boycotts you. It's just childish. But what's been the reaction to the BDS list or the BDS ban that Israel has publicized?
Well, as you say, I mean, it's an incredible irony that those who are calling for the boycott of Israel don't like it when the tide is turned and they are the recipient of their own medicine. But I think perhaps the government have listened to us, Howard. You know, at the outset, it was believed that anyone who was supportive of BDS and the BDS movement or campaign, well, we can't really call it a movement because a movement would give you the rationale that this is a ginormous worldwide movement and that it's supported by government and that it's supported across the board. We know from examining BDS very closely that many countries are signing legislation against them, as are many cities around the world, and many leaders are waking up to the fact that the BDS organization, so to speak, is an anti-Semitic organization. Having said that, it looks like they probably debated very, very carefully which BDS organizations will be boycotted. And I think they are the ones that are really, really extreme, like BDS groups in Italy, France, Norway, and Sweden. And I think that the criteria are along the lines of any organization that has justified the use of violence, any of the organizations that have used flagrantly anti-Semitic language. I know, like Students for Just Palestine are banned, but they have called for the incitement and the use of violence against Jewish students on campus. So I think the formulation of this list has been very, very careful in how it's been taken into account. BDS South Africa is banned from entering, and I think one only has to look at the rhetoric of BDS South Africa over the years, like shoot the Jew, like we've seen over the last 5 years or so, to understand that they are very, very warranted at being banned. Jewish Voice for Peace are being banned. Their reaction to it is them saying that Israel is trying to silence them. Code Pink have been banned, I think probably because the incredible irony of Code Pink standing up for gay and lesbian rights while not taking a stand against the horrendous abuse of gay and lesbian people in the Gaza Strip, for instance. So I think it's been taken into very, very, very careful consideration. Interior Minister Ariadne says that as the minister in charge of the Israel entry law, he has made it perfectly clear that he will use his authority to prevent individuals and representatives of groups whose sole purpose is to harm Israel and its security from entering its borders. So from that statement, one can say that any of these groups that provide or become a national security risk for Israel have been banned. I mean, one just has to look at the picture of representatives from Code Pink standing at the Kotel, the holiest or one of the holiest sites in Judaism, with a big sign calling for boycotts, to understand why they have effectively been banned. So, these efforts have also led to countries like Denmark and Norway, who have said that they will effectively toughen their positions against the funding of pro-Palestinian and BDS organizations. And just to be clear, you can be pro-Palestinian and pro-Israel. Just because you are pro-Palestinian doesn't mean you necessarily are a BDS supporter. I think there are a lot of people who do support both the rights of Palestinians 100%. And the rights of Israel to exist as a Zionist state. But also the ministry have claimed that this kind of legislation, this kind of move, has also motivated 24 U.S. states as well as the federal government of the United States to pass anti-BDS legislation. So very interesting movement from there, and definitely one that we will be watching with bated breath. I just wonder where Lord and Roger Waters feature on this.
Yeah, very, very interesting indeed. And we were talking about it a little bit earlier on the show. I'm not sure if you saw the Howard Stern or listened to the Howard Stern interview, commentary on Lord cancelling her trip to Israel. He absolutely slated her. We would never be able to play it on this radio station because his language is somewhat colorful. But if you aren't easily embarrassed, go and search for that on YouTube. It is absolutely fascinating to listen to. I do want to hear from you.
I can make it easier for our listeners. I've posted it to my Facebook page.
Oh, that's just really can I ask you then to post it onto your Afternoon with Howard Feldman Facebook page, just with a little bit of a disclaimer that the language is quite colourful, and just be aware of if you listen to it that you might not want to do so in front of your children. 34519 is the SMS line, or 0618951019. I'm speaking to Rolene Marks. We are chatting about all things Israel. There's been a lot of talk, Rolene, about the UNRWA schools. Netanyahu wants the gradual shutting down of UNRWA, the United Nations. What does it stand for? For UNRWA?
The United Nations Relief Works Association.
Relief Works Association. It's always very, very confusing because I always think that they're there to educate people in forms of racism, anti-Semitism, and bomb making. So it does get a bit confusing for me.
Also, the weapons cache stashing and flagrant lying. But I think that Prime Minister Netanyahu is taking a big leaf out of the Trump book when it comes to dealing with the United Nations. On Friday, there was a report, although it has been denied by a State Department official, that Washington has indeed frozen $125 million in funding for UNRWA. We did see President Trump tweet last week that he thinks that, or threatened rather, to cut funding not just to the Palestinians but to UNRWA specifically. And UNRWA was founded in 1949 and with the mandate to aid Palestinian refugees, and as Howard just said, allegedly it's supposed to be there for educational and health services in the Gaza Strip. Unfortunately, over the years they have really, really perpetuated the conflict. You know, one has to wonder what their relevance would be should there be a Palestinian state or any kind of peace between Israel and the Palestinians. And Netanyahu has said that UNRWA's existence also enshrines the narrative of the so-called right of return, and that there are other there are other human rights or refugee organizations that could really do with the funding that UNRWA gets. And in fact, Netanyahu said that the UN money that is slated for UNRWA should perhaps go to its global refugee agency, which is the UN High Commission for Refugees, with a clear criteria for supporting genuine refugees and not fictitious ones. I mean, the Palestinians are the only people in the world that have a refugee organization that is created specifically for them. So it is, in effect, keeping them in a perpetual state of refugee
and,
or victimhood.
And
it's not doing them any
unfortunately.
Favors.
And unfortunately, when you have this type of money flowing through that system, there's a fantastic incentive to remain within that situation. And I found unsigned saying a movement can also be a bowel evacuation, just saying, hashtag BDS. Ooh, Jenny, that's a little cheeky, but alrighty. Indeed, it is. I kind of lost my train of thought after that, as one does. Rolene, can you give us an update, if you don't mind? There were a couple of arrests in Israel today. Has that been cleared for publication? And if so, can you give us a sense as to what that's all about?
Well, nothing's been cleared for publication other than we know that arrests have been made of two Israeli Arabs who, according to security services, were plotting to carry out a terror attack in the name of Daesh or the Islamic State. We don't have an update on that as yet. It's probably still waiting for clearance, but we will keep you updated as it progresses.
So that is a story definitely that we will have to keep an eye on. Finally, Israel to the rescue in South Africa. I didn't know about this.
Well, isn't it incredible? I mean, you can look out for an article which will be posted on our Israel Link site and Facebook page within the next day or two. But yes, after the storms on the 31st of December, the foreign ministry was contacted by South Africa for some aid, for some help in dealing with the ramifications of the storm. And we sent our incredible Zaka volunteers. There are volunteers around the world and in South Africa as well who helped clear debris, who helped deal with the humanitarian crisis, who helped look after the homeless. Zaka is an incredible organization. In fact, next year they will be they celebrate, I think it's 30 years if I do my maths correctly, you know, at this time of the day, Howard, my maths brain fails me, but they were founded in 1989 after horrendous terror attack when a terrorist commandeered a bus and the bus fell down a ravine, killing many and injuring many others. And they really are there. In fact, they are often referred to as those who sleep among the dead, because it is their duty to kind of be there in that interim between a terror attack or death happening and for the final closure for the family. It is the Zaka volunteers that we have seen on site in Haiti, in Mexico, in Nepal, and now in Johannesburg, whenever there is a natural or humanitarian crisis that they are needed for. And they are a great pride for this country, and we can be very proud of the Zaka volunteers that we have from the community in Johannesburg who were there on site to lend a hand and to help with the crisis over New Year's.
Absolutely right. Rolene, just one comment is whilst we're busy talking, I've been on various sites. It appears as though that that some of the information about the arrest has been now cleared for publication, and you can read it on some of the websites. So just to update on that, that information is now available, and any of our listeners can follow that. So I think that's quite a good one to do. That's Rolene Marks.
Oh, yeah, here we go. It's two Bedouin women, 19 years old and 24 years old, connected or charged with joining the Islamic State and plotting a New Year's terror attack. Just an incidental statistic is that they found that more and more terrorists who do carry out attacks around the world are actually women.
Yes, I saw that. Absolutely fascinating. Well, there we go. Equal opportunity in terrorism. Anybody interested in that? Rolene Marks, that's where we love and leave you. We will catch up with you tomorrow with all the latest news from Israel. That is the Israel Report with Rolene Marks.